Hi, this is Paul. I've had a good day today. I had really a just astoundingly good Randos conversation this morning. I don't know if it'll see the channel in any way, shape, or form or not, but it was really tremendous. Really enjoyed it. And then I had sermon work to do, so I got my sermon. I usually work on the sermon Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, reading text, reading books, those kind of things. Thursday, it's time to make a PowerPoint. Friday, it's time to do rough drafts. Saturday, it's time to let it sit. Sunday morning, it's time to review it, do any last-minute updates. And then Sunday at 11 o'clock, it's time to preach it. So that's usually how I do my sermons. And so I had this Randos conversation. I worked on my sermon. And I had some admin stuff to do. And that's often when I'll watch videos. If I have some, you know, expense reports or something that I don't have to use, you know, language thinking capacities in my brain. And bang, Jordan Peterson's talking to Destiny. And I thought, well, that'll be very interesting because, you know, Destiny isn't really a celebrity atheist. He's sort of celebrity atheist adjacent. And one of the most interesting rationality rules videos that I've seen, he cites Destiny about Jordan Peterson. So I thought this'll be good. I'm really glad that Destiny agreed to do this. It's, you know, when Jordan Peterson talks to a reporter from a major news outlet, there's sort of a platform versus status differential then. But they're both streamers. They both sort of live in the same world. And so the differential sort of goes the other way. So I was really interested to see how this conversation would proceed. And it started out very well. Jordan was sort of sitting back in his chair. And he was very much in sort of therapist inquiry mode. And I thought, yeah, if you stay there, this could become something really cool. But he didn't stay there. And then it went on. And I actually skipped watching the teaser clip before I started watching the video. I kind of jumped in ahead of it because usually he's talking about his tour and then the teaser clip and everything. I don't need to see that. I just go in. And then it was, you know, kind of what I feared it might become in terms of, you know, they're gonna argue about climate change and left versus right and politics and yada yada. I was really hoping, you know, in one of the conversations, one of the Randos conversations that is in the membership section with Chaplain Greg. I mean, one of the things that Chaplain Greg said in that conversation was, you know, Jordan Peterson lately is always bringing things back to the Bible, and so when I listen to Jordan Peterson talk to Bishop Barron about the Bible, well, that makes perfect sense, of course. But I'm more interested probably in listening to Jordan Peterson talk to atheists and skeptics and people who don't usually talk about the Bible to them. And Moses comes up a little bit in this because Jordan derived some observations about the Bible and politics from his Exodus seminar. So that came up a little bit, but not very much at all. And actually the most, and so then what I did when I saw this going on, I thought, you know, the closest I've come to anything like this was my conversation with Vaush, which happened quite a while ago now. So I thought, well, how long ago was that? And then I just did a search for Vaush in my, I don't know if I'm saying that right. People often say I don't. So then I just, you know, searched on my channel for that to see if I could find the video, and then one came up, but it was unlisted. So I thought, did this never actually appear on my channel? I know it was on his channel. It was on this other Modern Debate channel, and usually I would just Google it to find it. So I thought, well, I'll put it up on my channel. So I just threw it up there, and then some people, of course, had seen it, say, oh, yeah, this is a repeat. Other people hadn't seen it before, so by this point, it will have been on the channel. I'm going to post this Friday morning. After this, I'm going to just do a question and answer on Friday, and I'll invite people into the, I'll invite people in with the link, and then do a little question and answer Friday. Anyway, and I was really very happy with how that went. I was still fairly new to this whole thing, and you know, I tried to set up a conversation with another such streamer, and it just didn't go well at all. So I was really curious how this was going to go, and I think I'm sort of just generally disappointed, mostly because I don't know. I don't know if anything happened that was significant. I did a conversation yesterday with Brendan Graham Dempsey, debating the legacy of modernity for Christianity. And I thought that conversation was a little bit more debate-like than most of what happens. I didn't know really who he was, and we had set this up for his channel, not mine. If it had been on my channel, I think most of you know how I would have proceeded with it. And what was really interesting is we went on for a couple of hours, and yeah, watch it. It's in No Wait, No Ads right now. It'll come out on my channel, but I'll put the link to it below if you just want to watch it on his channel. That's fine. And well, then we got to this moment, and I kind of want to share this moment.
This looks like. But just briefly, I will also say that another narrative arc could be presented, and you can call this person Brendan Graham Dempsey, who started out maybe a bit more where Job ended up in a religious tradition and had a deep devotional religious life and a deep prayer life and was deeply connected with his faith, cared about it so much he decided to go study it and devote his life to it, goes to school, studies it. Finds that when you apply the methods of the modern historical critical approach to that, things produce profound contradictions and difficulties and cognitive dissonances that when Brendan goes back to his family and his church, tries to get answers to these questions, finds that people don't want to talk about that or don't have satisfactory answers or feel threatened by it, to a point where eventually he has to give all that up and say, all right, well, I have to just follow where I feel like the truth is leading, and even though this is profoundly uncomfortable and hard to do, no longer being able to just naively believe in a certain perspective, and then deal with depression, and then deal with nihilism, and then have to work through that, and then find your way to a framework where there is a return of meaning and a new understanding and an interpretation of meaning and an understanding that that arc, that narrative development actually has a developmental logic to it, and that people's faiths can evolve and their understanding of reality can deepen and evolve and change, and that God as a concept and as a reality can evolve and change, and to feel a profound new sense of meaning and insight and importance and vocation even in pursuing that, and then devote yourself again to trying to follow that thread into the future and to help other people who are also grappling with the depression and the struggle that comes from not having that faith and not knowing what to do with it because you can't just return to where you came from. And that to me is also a very metamodern arc. And I think both of those arcs can find a place in this. And I'm happy to hear other people's arcs and how that pans out. So yeah, it's a diverse space, and I really welcome what's happening. I think it's deeply valuable that we're starting to move into this conversation. When I've talked to Verveke in the past, it's come up like, what about the legacy religions? What about this? And how do we bring in the ancient religions in a way and carry them forward? But now I feel like we're really grappling with that directly, at least as it pertains to Christianity. And so I look forward to having conversations with like people like Paul Anleitner and I don't know, maybe Christian Wyman, other people who are really exploring this stuff. And I really deeply appreciated this conversation, and I appreciate you taking the time and dealing with my questions and my whatever queries and probing critiques even. So but yeah, so this is I enjoyed this. I hope you did too.
Oh no, I did. I did. I did. And what's funny is that we sort of did a Randall's conversation in reverse, because if I had been hosting you, we definitely would have spent an hour of 40 half hour to an hour just on your story. And I think that, when I talk about the monarchical vision and I talk about metamodernity, in modernity you sort of start from we and all. I think in metamodernity you start with you, and then you sort of build out the world from there. And I think that point of approach is not arbitrary. Because again, when you look at especially Peugeot in this, but Peterson and Verveke to a degree, but especially Peugeot in this, even if you look at, let's say, the history of philosophy, this turn to phenomenology, and the other approach. Because the and this is where you have tension, and this is where, okay, I haven't said too much to get myself in trouble, but this is where some of the tension lies, let's say, in the modernist fundamentalist thing, is All right, so I won't get myself in trouble yet. You can watch me get myself in trouble on the video if you want to. It's all the way at the end if you have to skip all the way for it. Not really get myself in trouble, but that point of where do you begin? You'd hear when Peugeot talked to Rationality Rules, when he talked to Adam Friended, when he talked to Brett Weinstein, for years now, Peugeot would keep asking, "Where do you start? You know, where are you standing?" Because what I saw in the in this conversation was they were standing sort of like modernists with their monarchical vision, trying to look at everything. And the problem is we can't. Now, what happened, and this was in was in that book on pragmatists that Peterson was on his book list early on. I don't remember exactly what the title of the book was, but it was a really good book. But you know, the rise of statistics in many ways anticipates the problem of combinatorial explosiveness. Statistics is a way to find truth in data sets that are too large for us to grasp. And so we try to use statistics to pare it down and find a way to handle something that is too big. And a lot of what's in this conversation between Jordan Peterson and Destiny is just standing in different places. And this comes up in the conversation. They notice this, but they're standing in different places and they're trying to get their arms around the totality of a situation and they can't. And I thought that the moment where this was the most clear was here.
So here's my, this is my issue, I think. This is my issue with a lot of people when it comes to political conversations. I think that everything you've said is true. And I think that all of it is, it's good analysis, but I feel like it just gets wielded sometimes in one direction. And then people kind of miss that it completely and fully describes their entire side as well.
Okay, so what he said there was actually pretty key. First of all, big concession. Everything you've said is true. Okay, but it gets wielded. Ah, there's the modern boogeyman of the agent. Now we have suspicion about agency and let's say our rivals or interlocutors or debate opponents or however you want to frame it. But you know, almost everything that they debated here, and they went over a whole range of issues, and Jordan basically would, you know, he took the he took all the positions you would expect him to take on many of these. They're important issues. He feels passionately about it. He's got a lot to say about them, and I'm not going to say he's wrong or I disagree, but at this moment, of course, Destiny begins to recognize that there's something else going on in this. And the something else that's going on in this is making this not really a lot of fun, or at least not terribly productive, because we're just wielding different statistics at each other. And we've got a fair amount of skepticism with respect of to these statistics. And it's we're dealing with levels of problems that are actually really hard to get at. Now, again, if I say that in the abstract, people say, oh, okay. But then if I point to something where each of us has a stake, no, I'm right, whether it's climate change or immigration or nuclear power or COVID vaccine. And maybe you are. In fact, you could very well be right. But many of the issues, how many illegal immigrants come over the southern border every year? Well, they both basically acknowledge we don't know. We don't have a turnstile through which this is an unsupervised turnstile. We're just going to count you, okay? We're not going to catch you. No, we don't have there. How much? How many excess deaths? And so then the conversation simply gets bogged down in the attempt to achieve this monarchical vision, because that tends to be where all of the policy things happen. Now, when Brendan and I were talking, we can tended to get bogged down on, well, people can fly, yes or no. Sometimes is my answer. It doesn't happen very often. But then again, and then right away, well, equivocation, like fly to Boston. And I mean, because very quickly the conversation gets very complex. But and I think that was sort of the death of this conversation, and why I actually felt fairly affirmed in it, because if these two had begun with, let's say, Jordan Peterson starting with the home that Destiny grew up in, and then taking a half hour, they're going to take 2 hours, so take a half hour to establish a platform. And there's certainly going to be disagreements, but the interesting things about people, to me, are not necessarily where they stand on climate change, on vaccines, on Trump, on illegal immigration, on, because, okay, via statistics, large numbers of the country disagree with this, and they sort of break down, at least in our media funnels, to certain positions. And over time, if politics is functioning one way or another, policy will be changed or not be changed, and things will happen or not happen, and stuff will go on, and, you know, maybe everything will go poorly, or maybe everything will go really well. It's almost always somewhere in between. But to me, this is the entire project of this little corner. It's the entire project of Estuary. Because, truth be told, the odds of Jordan and Destiny with a camera working for 2 hours that they're going to sort a bunch of things out are pretty low. But I think they're actually, in terms of achievable, and I'm not even saying that they're going to achieve agreement on controversial issues that are gripping the West. But what they might achieve is, and again, it sounds so trite, but I think it's so foundational. What they might achieve is a friendship on whatever basis it can happen between one very high status person and another one who's less high status.
And the thing that I feel like the only solution for this is, you hinted at it. It's more than just conversation, although that's a good start. We have to go back to inhabiting similar areas. We have to go back to inhabiting similar, like, media landscapes. I think that the issue that we're running into...
Media landscapes was super interesting because... And, you know, I got... Grizz gave me a spanking this morning on my... on a couple of things, and I love it. I love it. I love it when Grizz pulls up one of my videos and corrects me. Sometimes he's right and sometimes he's wrong, but I love hearing him think clearly and disagreeing with me and saying it in all of the ways that he does. Why? Because, again, go back to the Book of Proverbs. I benefit from it. And why do I benefit from it from him and not from people who never come on camera or never participate in a live stream or never come to an estuary? It's because until they become a real person in a Pinocchio way, in a Velveteen Rabbit way, I don't care what you think until I know how much you care. I messed that up. I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. It's a basic axiom of ministry. It's a basic axiom of relationships. And someone might say, yeah, but it's a little corner. We need videos of millions, blah, 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 blah. And it basically, they're saying exactly what was said in that Peterson Ben Shapiro conversation, when Ben Shapiro basically said, you got to get back to the campfire. You got to get back to the, well, let's tell stories. Well, let's sing a song. Well, let's, you know, help me haul some of this wood together. Well, let's take some time and sit around. And that happens in small circles. But here's the thing. You can multiply the number of small circles. It doesn't happen with a massive, so a colleague of mine who I respect immensely, I shared with him my kale conversation, which I thought was just wonderful. And, you know, he's, well, what you really need to do is edit this down to, and what he was thinking of, I know exactly what he's thinking of, edit it down to a finely polished message video, which would be absolutely fine. If anybody wants to take my conversation with Kale and edit it down to a finely polished message video, that's great. How much good will it do? Probably almost nothing. Not nothing, almost nothing, because we know that the cumulative impact of how much messaging, say it enough times and people believe it. And so now we've created these machines that will represent us and say it 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 and say it. And then we have artists that will put it in art form and represent it again and again and again and again and sneak it under the radar and put it within beauty and do all of these things so that we get colonized and we get convinced and we lose our savings throws on mind control and all of this happens. But again, back to one of the issues Peterson was writing a while ago. Sanity is crowdsourced. Sanity is being on the same page with multiple people. And this was from his Bishop Barron thing. Sanity is being fully alive and basically being aligned with God. And Bishop Barron and Jordan Peterson can agree with that. And I think Jordan Peterson is doing a service by sort of bringing that down and helping to show that. And there's a great section in the, if I hadn't made this video, I didn't really have enough time. I'd probably go and do a little bit more work on the Peterson Barron video, because even though I said the things that I said and some of my frustrations with Bishop Barron in that conversation, there's a lot of good stuff in that video from both Barron and Peterson. And Barron, of course, places it in, you know, he goes into the garden and I thought that was a wonderful section that Bishop Barron did. And of course, it's polished because he's probably said it a half a dozen times. And it's been in how many of his sermons? And that's what happens to old preachers. You recycle your stuff. How many times have I shared the Mabel story? That's just what I do. But yeah, and at this moment in the conversation, when I had a little recording error, but let's go.
This is my issue, I think. This is my issue with a lot of people when it comes to political conversations. I think that everything you've said is true. And I think that all of it is, it's good analysis, but I feel like it just gets wielded sometimes in one direction. And then people kind of miss that it completely and fully describes their entire side as well. And the thing that I feel like the only solution for this is you hinted at it. It's more than just conversation, although that's a good start. We have to go back to inhabiting similar areas. We have to go back to inhabiting similar like media landscapes. I think that the issue that we're running.
Okay. This is almost the same thing that Ben Shapiro said to Jordan Peterson, and he agreed. And this is why my approach in this little corner is exactly what it is. Because you can't start with a monarchical vision, because there is no monarchical vision. Part of what about modernity is going away is that this is unachievable. Now, Jordan Peterson early on recommended a book about the pragmatists, which dealt with statistics. Now, if I'm repeating this, I'm sorry, because again, I had this little recording error, and I talked and talked and talked and talked, and none of it was recorded. Or some of it was recorded, and I'm not exactly sure which is, and I can't spend too much time doing this. So we use statistics to try to rein in combinatorial explosiveness. When, for example, with astronomy, they're trying to track stars. There's too many. There's too much to count. So use statistics to get a good enough guess. And that's basically what pragmatism is about. It's about good enough. And so we try to get statistics, but wielded, destiny will say here, wielded. And so because something is wielded, we can't trust your statistics because it's motivated. And so we're looking around for something that is impartial, something that is objective, but it doesn't matter because whether it's 3.6 million immigrants or hundreds of thousands of immigrants, it doesn't matter because there's no way of knowing really exactly what that means because every single immigrant is a person and every person has enormous capacity and value. So there's no answering these questions. And the only way to begin is starting one-on-one, building trust, getting to know. The video I did yesterday, Grim took it to task in his live stream this morning, which I value. And the reason I value it is because I love and trust Grim Grizz. I love and trust him. And that love and trust means that when he disagrees with me and tells me I'm wrong or doing it wrong or shouldn't do something, you know, someone might say, well, you're a minister and he's a rando and you've got 29,000 subscribers to your channel and he's only got a little over 1,000 and. But you know what? That means nothing. My wife doesn't have a YouTube channel, but I've got 36 married years with her. That makes it complicated. But all of that complexity in the context of a relationship is difficult but manageable. And this is why when this video started, I so hoped Peterson would sort of keep his therapist inquiry hat on, and that might lead to something much more akin to what I do with Rando's conversations, so that even though they're not going to agree about whole ranges of things, what they can begin to do between each other is maybe have a little beachhead. And what they can model on this channel is an approach because, again, forgive me if I said all these things before in this video. So a good friend of mine who I respect dearly, I sent him my conversation with Kale because I thought it was a great conversation. And he said, boy, that was great. What you really need to do is narrow it down because, you know, everybody thinks, well, it should be really short for YouTube. And I said, well, I did a short. It was only about 17 minutes. No. What you really have to do is polish it and edit it. And just like, I couldn't find my comment on that woman's thing that I left. I have a record for leaving and I can't find it. So who knows? She probably thought, here's some creep weirdo from the United States who got onto my channel and I must get rid of him. So certainly not going to look up any Grim Grizz because if I get there, what am I going to find? Well, that's exactly what you have when you open up Zoom and you talk to a total stranger and you decide you're going to listen for a good half hour at least to try to understand and to try to know. And then maybe after a half hour or 45 minutes of listening, maybe there's one tiny little point you might be able to make that might have some influence on the other person. And that's the extent of your expectation. And I know that, you know, if I edited, if I made like pretty pictures from nature and beautiful background music, and when we watch those kinds of things on TV, we think they're so impactful. And sometimes they are. But right now, as Ben Shapiro and Jordan Peterson said, the camps are so jaded. it's really hard to admit publicly when the other side has a really good point. And people admit that. But what we really want is all lots of little circles of people getting to know each other. One of the things I love of what Neil Daedalus keeps talking about on Chad's channel is, I saw Chad and I wanted to be his friend. And so Chad and Neil, even though it's Chad's channel, they're working on it together. And it doesn't matter how many subs it has. It doesn't matter how polished things are. It doesn't matter about the lobster costumes or the funny mustache and all the little shticks that we play with our little inside jokes and everything. What matters is that there's an inside, and in that little inside, there can be trust. And in that realm of trust, there can be sharing. And in that realm of sharing, you can come to a point where you say, yeah, I disagree with you. And, you know, the video that I made about Indoor Cat and the woman who looks at the Jubilee videos and, you know, liberalism needs guilt and teeth in order to make sure that we win. Oh, gosh, help us all, please. And that's very much what Jordan Peterson is arguing about it, because he's like, when the state uses coercion. Now, again, there are times when the state must use coercion because, you know, a lot of the debate in politics right now is when and how do states use coercion, because both sides are using it. And the state must use it from time to time. But, oh, be careful what coercion you use. And that scales all the way down to us as individuals in our relationships with one another. Which is why, if you want to build... It was before I went to the Dominican Republic, there was this little outfit called Missionary Internship that the Christian Reform World Mission sent all of us to. They had a little language learning module, and that's where I learned the thing that I've said before. If you want to learn a language, you have to make a million mistakes. So when I got to the Dominican Republic, I started doing terrible damage to the Spanish language as I worked on my million mistakes. One of the other things that they taught was trust is everything. With influence, trust is everything. And whether you trust certain YouTube channels and not certain YouTube channels, certain people and not other people, I know people in this world that trust almost no one. One guy, he trusts me and two or three other people, usually because of what was done to them by their family or what was done to them by their church or by their school. And they just have difficulty trusting. But the thing is, you cannot get anywhere in this world without trust. It's another old Peterson theme. And so, and I know people would be frustrated, perhaps. Maybe Jordan Peterson videos would get the size views of my Randos videos. If you sat there and listened to people talk about how their parents got divorced. Talk about what happened in school. Talked about getting into drugs and alcohol at an early age. Talk about trying to get off it. Trying to deal with porn, or trying to deal with instability of relationships, or trying to deal with all of the things that you hear on a daily basis. If you talk to almost everyone in this world, and maybe, just maybe, if they grew up in a really nice home, they escaped a whole bunch of that, but other sad things of this world found them. Maybe they trusted too easily and people took advantage.
Into right now more than anything else is people live in completely separate realities at the moment, such that if we were even to describe basic reality, how many illegal immigrants came into the United States last year? That should be a...
Describe basic reality. Keep in mind combinatorial explosiveness. You can't even get through the topics. You know, earlier in this video, Peterson brings up excess deaths. And it's like, that's not one of our talking points. And then they have this big argument about number of excess deaths and what causes them. And so again, if you begin with the person, because if you begin with me, I'll tell you, yeah, COVID killed a lot of people. Yeah. COVID vaccine injuries are real. I know people that have been seriously injured with them. Yeah, long COVID is real. I know people that are continuing to struggle. And part of the irony of all of this is that you will get a degree of medical attention or state benefits based on categories of illness, and it's political. But when they come into my church and they tell me their story, I don't care if they voted for Donald Trump or not. I don't care if they voted for Joe Biden or not. I don't care if they haven't voted in 30 years. I don't care. They're a human being, and so we start with the one, and we begin to go out and map the world through their story. And when it comes to Christianity, the gospel, life improvement, I make whatever progress I can with whatever their story and their frame and their worldview affords me. And that's where I begin. And I don't know any other way to do it. And yeah, make polished videos. Yeah, have a big YouTube channel. Yeah, do all of those things. Try the mind control. Go ahead. But I'm going to keep doing it one person at a time. And now, again, you know, people might look at my channel, ooh, 29,000 subs, that's a big channel. 29,000 people don't watch me. You know, over on the... over on the ready to harvest guy did a thing on the CRC, and some people who've given up on me are over there talking about me, and that's fine. That's fine. And I frankly don't worry about them, mostly because they're Christians. They know they should go to church. I hope they have churches. It's the people who come to me and they're struggling with church and they're struggling with all these things. These are the people I'm going to pay attention to. These are the people I'm going to spend my time on. And Christians that want to come for the ride, hop on board. I just ask, just kind of do what I do. Don't be careful of the monarchical vision approach, because people aren't statistics. Each one of us from the inside out is a sample of one. And in many ways, it's that reality. It's at the heart of Jonathan Peugeot's message again and again. And Jordan Peterson and his interest in phenomenology, Verveke and his interest in Heidegger, we're all samples of one. And again, science starts up here, and I'm not saying you can't learn anything from it, but do you ask me if miracles happen? I say yes. Why? I've seen stuff I can't explain. Oh, but if I had infinite amounts of knowledge, I could explain that. Well, maybe you could. But it would be a miracle if you had infinite amounts of knowledge, and therefore you would prove the no miracles argument wrong. So that convinced you? Not at all. C.S. Lewis opens up his book on miracles. I've said this many times, and says, the only person I know that claims to have seen a ghost doesn't believe in ghosts. That's how human beings are. So this is a frustrating conversation.
Factual number that we can know.
How many do you think?
Somebody, the actual number, probably in the hundreds of thousands. I think some conservatives think it's 3 million per year over the past 3 years, because they look at like border contacts, or they look at asylum seekers, and they're not looking at crossings and laws.
Yeah, I think it's 3.6 million.
Came into the U.S. and stayed?
Yes, through the southern border.
Okay. So,
you know.
And off we go again. And I would have loved it if at this point, Jordan, okay, I had words for Bishop Barron in the last video. I'll have words for Jordan. I wish Jordan had stopped a moment on the epistemic point that Destiny was making. And go just watch that my video with Brandon. I mean, I get hooked and triggered and by all kinds of things, and you know, fighting my little fights, and I've done it plenty of times. But start with the person sitting in front of you. Focus on them. Listen to them. And again, the way he started this.
So I guess we might as well start by letting the people who don't know who you are get to know who you are with a little bit more precision. So why have you become known, and how has that developed?
It's a pretty broad question. I think I started streaming around 15 years ago when it wasn't really a thing yet. There were a few people that did it. I started early.
And of course, start further back than that. But even just look at the body language. I mean, he's nervous. He's, you know, there is a status differential here. There's a power imbalance. But he had the courage to go there. And good for him. But yeah, so there's my plea. Leave a comment. Let me know what you think.